Morning, I have chosen to preach on dying to self. Quite some time ago, maybe a couple months ago, one of the men said something to me about the subject of dying to self, and I thought to myself, I want to preach on that one. But as time went along, I thought about that quite a bit, and finally the Holy Spirit, I think, began to mold me a little bit in those areas. And I ended up preparing a message for that, and that's what we're going to preach this morning, Dying to Self. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word and its teachings, though sometimes it may be a little difficult and maybe a little more than we would want. And yet we realize it is your word. We desire to be holy. We desire to be righteous. We desire to please you. And I just simply pray that your Holy Spirit would take your word, minister to every heart this morning, whatever the need is today. First of all, if there's someone here that is not saved, that you would open their heart and they would realize that that is the most important decision that anybody will ever make in life because it affects our destiny in eternity. We also pray for each believer that they will listen to the challenge from your word and make decisions accordingly in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. As I mentioned, the title of the message this morning is a very simple title, Dying to Self. And we're going to study very basically how Jesus instructed his disciples to deny self and serve him. We'll use three basic texts actually for the message. The one that I just read here, we'll spend a little time in it first. And then in Luke chapter 14, verse 25 through 35, there's another text again spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ that relates to dying to self. And then also in John chapter 12, verse 24 through 26, a third passage of which Jesus again address the subject of dying to self. So that brings us basically to 3 points for an outline. We have the test of discipleship in Luke 9, we have the cost of discipleship in Luke 14, and the fruit of discipleship in John chapter 12. I think first of all we have to ask ourselves an honest question. What do you mean when you say denying self or die to self? First of all, I want to make it very clear that I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not talking about how to get saved. And in light of that, I want to review what it is to be saved before we get into the subject of this matter of dying to self. Salvation, first of all, is something that comes totally from God as a gift that we must respond to and accept. So eternal life is a gift. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." God has given us the gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. We sinful human beings are the recipient of the gift that God has given through the Lord Jesus Christ. As it says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Because we have a sin problem, that's why we need to be saved. It doesn't make any difference whether we're a child or a teenager or an adult. Every person is born with a sin problem, and because of that, that's why we need to get saved. Because we have a sin problem, there is a debt or an account that has to be paid with God. In 1 Peter 4, 5, it says, "Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead?" Yes, someday, every single one of us will stand before God. And if we have not accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, there is a debt that's going to have to be paid, separated from God for all eternity in hell, away from him. And that's why God gave us that gift of eternal life, so that if we did respond to that, we could have that gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ is the answer. Probably the most quoted verse of the Bible, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Also in the Gospel of John, in the little book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "And he," referring to Christ, "is the propitiation," which means he is the acceptable sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Christ paid that sin debt for us. Entry into eternal life, then, is through the door of faith. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, very common verses, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Jesus himself said in John 3:3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The Apostle John said in John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Again, indicating there must be a responsibility on our part to receive that gift. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 10:9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Not, "I hope I'm going to be saved," not, "Maybe I'll be saved," but we can know that we are saved because when we confess our need of the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledge that he saves us. Or in that same context in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We refer to that sometimes as the simple gospel. And it is simple. In fact, there are people that stumble over that and say that it just can't be that easy, that by faith you can pray and accept Christ and ask him to forgive your sin and you're saved that easy. But folks, I quoted to you the Bible. It is that easy. The tragic is there are people that it's so easy they stumble over it and don't do it. If you're sitting here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, my first invitation to you is to make that decision. You could right there in your pew right now pray and ask him to forgive your sin and save you, and I can guarantee you by the promises of the Word of God that you would be saved because of the verses that I quoted to you. Now, I did that for a reason this morning. I want you to understand that what I'm preaching about this morning is not on the topic of salvation. I'm going to talk about how you live. I'm going to talk about discipleship or denying self. That's not the same thing as getting saved. Not only that, but we're talking about a topic that belongs to those that are saved. So if you're not saved, you can't be a disciple. And so we're talking about discipleship. This can only come after you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It has absolutely nothing to do with going to heaven. It has to do with how we live. Let's start in Luke chapter 9, the test of discipleship. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. "And he said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." I'll admit, when I made the decision to prepare this message, I struggled with it a little bit. Because it's a challenge, I can honestly say I have not arrived at this. My wife and I do try to live a dedicated spiritual life. We do work at that. But I can't say that I've arrived at some kind of a state that say that I always, every day and every hour, die to self. Sometimes I get in the road. So when I preach this message, I may do this, but I'm not pointing at you, and my other fingers are pointing back at me. I'll admit, this message is a challenge to me. Can I do this? Let's go through it. He said unto them, If any man will come after me. Again, this is not talking about salvation. It's talking about following Jesus Christ as a disciple. It is possible to be saved and not be a disciple. Now, sometimes you'll hear the word disciple defined simply as a follower. And that is true. That's one use of the word disciple. So if you're here this morning and you are saved, you are a follower of Jesus, and in that sense, you are a disciple. But in this message, in the text that we're dealing with, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about being a dedicated follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. This is actually the theme of this message. What does it mean to deny self? Because of our sin nature, if we admit that, I'll admit it, we are selfish and we are self-centered. We usually think about me first. Whatever comes along, I want to be first. You can watch any situation you want in life. That's the way it is. You have a church dinner, some people got to be first in line. That's just the way it is. You get on a bus, some people got to be the first one on the bus. First one to get the seat. That's our sin nature. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we realize we struggle with a problem because we think of ourselves first. Me first. If Jesus Christ is going to be our Lord and Master, we have to put Him first, not myself. And as I said, that's totally against our sin nature. I want to do what I want to do first. And then if there's time, maybe the Lord can have some of that. If there's any time left over, then maybe I'll do something for Christ. We may say, but Lord, I can't do that. I have plans. We may say, for example, going to Sunday school, the morning service, then back on Sunday evening. I can't do that. I got other things to do. Go to church Wednesday night? You got to be kidding. Well, I've worked all day long. I'm tired. I get home late. I haven't had any supper. Not me. I can't do that. Or go to church on Wednesday night and pray. Pray, you mean pray with somebody else? You're going to ask me to do that? Not me. I'm not eloquent. I can't say the right words. I could never do that. But would you consider dying to self and learn to pray with someone else? Would you give up your Thursday evening and be one of the visitation teams? Now, we're not doing that through the winter months, but occasionally on Thursday nights we do call in visitors. But would you do that? But Lord, I'm shy. I could never do that. Don't ask me to do that. I couldn't do that. Are we shy, or does our personal pride simply stop us because we don't want to get a door slammed in our face? Can we deny self? Would you consider teaching Sunday school or work with the kids' club on Wednesday night or work in the nursery? Would you deny your own interest to do those things? He goes on in that passage to say, and take up thy cross daily and follow me. Think about that for a moment. Taking up the cross is a task. For one thing, the cross is heavy. Now, obviously, he uses the analogy of the crucifixion. He uses the analogy of what Jesus did when he carried his cross and was taken out and crucified. The cross was heavy. Another thing, the cross was painful. Being a disciple is not fun, and it's not a game. There is a certain amount of labor that goes with it. It can be tiring. It can even be frustrating sometimes. There's another word that is used there in that phrase that we just read. Take up thy cross daily. There's an important part to that because that indicates to us this is not a matter. Now, when I get all done today, I can give an invitation and 30 people can come down here and get down here and pray and dedicate their life to the Lord. So I'm going to take up my cross. But that's not what we're talking about, actually. We're talking about every hour you live, daily. Making those decisions daily, whether you take up your cross and follow Him as a disciple. Yes, we might on Sunday make it on Sunday school, morning service, and even the evening service. And we pat ourselves on the back and say, real good. I did all right this Sunday. I really picked up my cross and I carried it. It was a little heavy, a little demanding, but I did that. But what about next Sunday? Oh, now, wait a minute. Next Sunday, I got a family reunion. I have to go to the family reunion. I can't miss family reunions. I got something else I got to do. This dying to self is a daily decision. We make daily decisions to deny self and take up his cross and follow him. And that is the point that Jesus is making. Take up your cross daily and follow him. Every hour of the day, you're going to make decisions whether you pick up that cross and do things for Jesus, or you say, well, but I got all these other things I want to do. I want to do what I want to do. Notice verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. I started again with that question in the beginning. What does it mean to take up your cross? What does it mean to die to self? Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. What happens if some believer says, I'm not going to deny self. I'm not going to take up the cross and daily follow him. I'm not going to do that. I cannot do that because, well, I have plans, you know. I got other things to do. I couldn't do that. When you make a decision like that, you are saving your life for yourself. Remember before I said we have that selfish, me-first nature? So when you make that kind of a decision, that's what you're saying. I'm saving. I'm not going to do that for the Lord. I got what I want to do. I'm saving this for myself. You might say, I'm not going to tithe. Well, I've got a car payment. I got a house payment. Besides that, I work in a job where they expect you to wear pretty nice clothes, so I got to buy new clothes every so often. Ultimately, when you do that, you're saving your tithe for yourself. You're not doing that for the Lord. You're saving your tithe for yourself. You do not get involved in church activities because, well, you know, I don't have time to do those things. All right? You do that because you're saving your time for yourself. Don't expect me to go to church three times on Sunday and once during the week and other special events. I don't have time for that. I got all these things I got to do. You're saving your time for yourself. But what happens someday when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ? I remind you of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In fact, I'd like you to turn there. Pastor Brown just preached on that last week, and I'm not trying to take something from that. I just want to remind you of what it says, even though he preached on that last week. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For other foundations can no man lay than this that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if a man build upon the foundation of gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire, which is the promise that as you serve the Lord and do things for him, there is a reward for that. But a person who says, no, I don't have time for that. I got all these plans. I got myself. I got these things to do. And so he chooses not to do that. At the judgment seat of Christ, as is indicated in this passage in Corinthians, and Pastor Brown talked about that very well last week, some are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and receive no reward because you kept that back for yourself. Such a person will have very little reward, if any, because he saved his life on earth. But in eternity, he either has no reward or will have very little. That's what Jesus was saying there in Luke. Let's go back to Luke again. He goes on to say in that verse, "For whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." This is obviously the other side of the coin, the opposite. What about a person who, all right, he denies himself, gives up his own things because he wants to do things for the Lord? What about a person who does take up their cross? What about a person who actually does take up their cross and they do it daily? What about the person who follows Jesus in complete dedication to him? Well, what he says here, Jesus says here in Luke, he lost his life on earth because he was too busy. He was a bit too busy for Christ doing daily things to serve him. So he lost his life for eternity. Lost his life from the earth When he stands before the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He has saved his life for eternity. And ultimately, that's really the bottom of all of this. Someday you are going to give account before Christ, and if you've saved your life for yourself, you'll have nothing to talk to Christ about. But if you've not saved your life for yourself, but you've given it for the Lord while you're on earth, you have something to report to the Lord and be rewarded accordingly. Now let's go back here to verse 25, Luke 9:25. "For what is a man advantage if he gained the whole world and lose himself, or he be a castaway?" What would you gain if you were the CEO of a large corporation and so busy doing that you had no time to be a disciple for the Lord? What would you gain if you worked two jobs so that you could buy all of the nice things that you'd really like to have, but you don't have time for Christ? As we read in 1 Corinthians 3:15, it says, "He shall suffer loss." Notice verse 26 here in Luke. He says, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, and of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." If we are so disinterested in the things of Christ and have no love for him, when Christ comes, he will be ashamed of us. Just like the Corinthian passage that describes the judgment seat of Christ, those who choose not to deny self, Christ will be ashamed of them. Yes, we're talking about when we step into eternity and stand before Christ. Now flip over just a few pages to Luke chapter 14. In Luke chapter 14, again, Jesus addressed this same topic in chapter 14 of Luke, verse 25. "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them." Originally, they were multitudes, as it says here, that followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Were they disciples? Had they died to self? You need not turn there, but in John chapter 6 and verse 66, it says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." So here he indicates this, and John gives an answer to that. There were many that followed Jesus. There were multitudes that followed him. In that sense, as I gave that definition before, they were disciples, they were followers of Jesus, but were they willing to die to self and be real disciples? And that's why it says there in John, there were many that after he got a little tough with that and started dealing with the very topic that I'm dealing with here, there are many that walked away. That's where the message gets down to reality to us. Many followed Jesus to a point, but when it got this matter of denying yourself daily and following him, they went the other direction. They were not true disciples. At this point in Luke, multitudes followed him, as we just read. In verse 26, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters." The word hate actually means to love less. Hate, kind of, we think that probably in a negative direction, and that's really not what it's talking about as we think of the word hate, but it means to love less. In other words, you could do better. A true disciple does not place family before Christ. A true disciple loves family members less than he loves Christ. And then it says, "and his own life also." Not only does a true disciple place Christ before his relatives, he places Christ before himself. His own life also. This takes right back to the one we just covered there in Luke 9:23, "let him deny himself." A true disciple gives up all of his selfish desires and plans. Again, our selfish sin nature does not want to do that. That's not our normal nature to say, "Well, I just love the Lord. I'm really going to do all these things." It's nice to talk that. It's a different thing doing it. He goes on in this verse to say he cannot be my disciple. This is not talking about getting saved. That's why I tried to make that plain in the beginning. There's a difference between salvation and being a disciple. We're not talking about being saved here. We're not talking about losing your salvation when he said you can't be my disciple. He's talking about discipleship. If you're not willing to give up yourself and deny yourself, you're not a disciple. That's the challenge. Follow now in verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Again, we're going right back to Luke 9:23. Take up his cross daily and follow me. To be a disciple, one must pick up the cross and carry it. Again, it must be daily. This is necessary to be an actual disciple. You cannot be a disciple if you cannot give up self. Notice verse 28 now. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. This is an illustration. It's an illustration of discipleship. Salvation costs you nothing. That's why in the beginning I went through that little grace outline that we use to try to witness to people, because it does say that it's a free gift from God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation costs you nothing. But discipleship costs you everything. It's costly. If you set out to build, you must first draw up plans. Then you make a piece count of all the material that you think you're going to need. Then you price the materials to see what each piece is going to cost and then add that all up. Then you estimate how much labor there's going to be involved, how long is it going to take. Then you try to figure out, all right, how much do I have to pay for that labor and what's it going to cost? And then you get down to the bottom line and have all that figured out, and then you ask yourself the question, can I afford this building project? Am I willing to pay for the project? It's going to cost something. Am I willing to pay for the project? The same is true of discipleship. Am I willing to give up the relatives? Am I willing to give up my own selfish interests? Am I willing to take up the cross daily and carry that heavy instrument? Another illustration is in verse 31. For what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. This is another illustration concerning counting the cost. A king is faced with battle, faced with whether he's going to go to war or not. He finds out, because he does a little espionage work, a little spying, and he finds out that the enemy has 20,000 troops and he only has 10,000. So when he counts the cost, he may figure out, we never could win that war. So he sends an ambassador over to the other king, and they figured out, all right, we'll pay you so much taxes and we'll work this all out if you just don't attack us. And so he sends an ambassador, they work it all out, because he counted the cost ahead of time. If he ascertains that it's too costly, that he can't win the war, he seeks to end that with a peace agreement. He counts the cost. So in verse 33, likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Again, notice the cost of discipleship. A disciple forsaketh all. If you cannot forsake self, you're never going to be a disciple. If you can't get over that thing of me first, but I've got this, what I want to do, I don't have time for that because I've got to take care of myself. If you can't get over that, you're never going to be a disciple. That is the honest truth. Notice verse 34, another illustration. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Salt that loses its flavor basically is worthless. And what do you do with it? You throw it out. The same is true of disciples. They must contain the characteristics of a disciple. Personal sacrifice. Or they're really no value to the Lord. Again, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm not talking about anything like that. That's why I gave you that salvation plan at the beginning. We're talking about discipleship. If you can't somehow give up the self and do things for the Lord as your choice to do that, giving up self, taking up the cross daily and following Him, if you can't do that, as far as the Lord is concerned, you're worthless as a disciple. I guess you have to ask yourself, would I want the Lord to look at me and say, "Preacher, you're worthless"? Now, that bothers me. I would not want the Lord to look at me and say, "You're just a bunch of baloney." That bothers me. I wouldn't want the Lord to look at me like that. I don't want Him to set me aside. I want to live for the Lord. I don't want to be over here in the salt that's thrown out and say, "Well, you're no good to me." I don't want that. Turn to John chapter 12. There's a third passage where Jesus again addressed this topic. A little different, but it's the same basic truths. John chapter 12 and verse 24. John 12, 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Now, I think Jesus in this verse was explaining how the crucifixion works. Just as the seed must be planted into the ground and die to grow up and produce fruit, so Jesus knew that He was going to die and rise again. And in verse 25, "He that loveth his life shall lose it." Now, if Jesus had said, "I'm not going to be crucified, don't lay that on me," we'd have all been the losers. There would be no hope of eternity. But Jesus gave it all, didn't He? He went to the cross. He willingly paid that. He's the one that died, was placed in the ground like that kernel of seed and grew up to give us eternal life. He's the one that did that. "He that loveth his life shall lose it." Jesus gave His life. Or it says, "He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." Again, the word "hateth" means, as I said before, to love less. Jesus gave His life, which resulted in eternal life for us. For us it is the same. He that gives up his selfish life and serves the Lord has an eternal reward. Verse 26. "If any man serve me, let him follow me." If you want to serve Christ, you must give up self and follow Christ. Again, go back to that Luke passage in Luke 9. Take up your cross daily and follow Him. "If any man serve me, let him follow me." He goes on to say in verse 26, "And where I am, there shall also my servant be." Many of His disciples did give up self. And when I say His disciples, we think of the 11 in particular. And of course, there were others eventually that got saved that really were very strong disciples in that same way. As far as we know, at least from tradition, seems to indicate that most, if not all, of the disciples actually died in execution for their testimony for the Lord. Those disciples did listen to what Jesus said, and they were willing to die if they had to for the Lord. They were true disciples. They gave up all to follow Him and died as martyrs. And then, of course, they followed Him to glory, where today they are honored. He goes on to say, "If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." There is a reward in eternity for those who give up all to be His disciples. There is a reward for those who do take up their cross daily and follow Him. They die to self. And I think that is a tremendous example to us to realize that those 11 disciples, and if you include the 12th one, which was probably the Apostle Paul according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, they gave their life, they did all, they gave everything, they gave up the selfishness, and they served him. They died to self. I conclude with this. In Luke 9:23, again, where we started, he said unto them, "All, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." As I said in the beginning, and I emphasize it again here, we're not talking about getting saved. We're talking about after you're saved and what you do with your life. It's talking about discipleship. And we're talking about a daily commitment. Throughout the day, you are faced with the decisions. And when you make those decisions, you have to make that decision. Is Christ going to be first, or am I going to put other things first? Either you deny self or you keep it for yourself. You're allowed that choice. But just remember this. Someday when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you will give an account. If you want to be a disciple, it means denying self, taking up your cross daily, and following him. I conclude with Galatians 2:20, and I'd like you to turn there. Some of you maybe could quote it. It's a common verse. We used to sing a little chorus that is actually written from that song, and I wouldn't try to sing it for you because you'd probably all get up and leave. But Galatians 2:20 says this, "For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I like that verse. I think there's two parts to that, actually. Number one, when Christ died by substitution, when we accept Christ, we die. And I think that's part of what he's talking about. I am crucified with Christ. I've already been crucified. He died in my place. That's taken care of. That's why I have eternal life. But I think also it indicates that in the Christian life, taking up the cross daily, being crucified every day. Every day, letting yourself be nailed to the cross. The act of dedication, of service, putting away the selfishness, and putting Christ first. Dying to self. I said in the beginning, and I'll not back from that now, that is tough. I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on you. I think it's interesting because you get into the epistles and it doesn't really deal a lot with that except Romans 12 to dedicate your life, and I think that's what we're talking about to some degree. You know, people talk a lot about, oh, we should listen to what Jesus said. I gave you what Jesus said. Is that easy to do? No, it is not easy to do. Because of our basic selfish sin nature, we tend to think, but I got this to do. I want to do this. That's where we struggle. I'm not asking for all of you to come down here and get on your knees and beg and plead with God and dedicate your life to the Lord. What I'm asking you to do daily